Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 14th episode of the Grand Slam Podcast. I'm your host, Moneymaker Chris, and joined as always by Mr. Jay Giles. Jay, how you doing this evening, man?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm doing good. Happy to be here once again, talking about some baseball.
Oh, yeah. Talking about some baseball. So you ready to get started?
I am.
Cool. Now, normally we do this at the end of the show, but since it's the end of the season, it's playoff time, I'm going to kick the show off with this. So, like I said, the season is over with. We're in playoff time for MLB baseball. And when it comes to the playoff picture, on the American League side, we had the Yankees, who ended up taking the AL East. The Astros won the West. The Twins won the Central. And then you got your two wildcard teams, or the Athletics and the Rays. On the National League side, you got the Braves. They took the NL East. Dodgers, of course, you know, they had the West locked up for a while.
Yeah,
they had that locked up. Cardinals took the Central. And then, of course, you got my Nats and Brewers, who are actually playing right now for the wild card spot. The winner of that game will take on the Dodgers. So, and then, let's see. I got the playoff bracket right here. So, let's see, you got Houston, and the winners of the Tampa Athletics wildcard game will take on Houston. And then you got the Yankees and Twins on the American League side. So how do you feel about how the playoff race shaped up in these, like, wildcard games and everything? Any predictions or anything? How you feel about this whole thing?
I mean, cause, you know, we did the standings for every episode and everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it, for a lot of teams, it played out how we thought it would. Like we talked about the Dodgers. I mean, after the first month, they pretty much
they had that little locker with the whole season. There was no debate there.
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise. Mm-hmm. The Yankees, you know, they came back and on real strong and took the AL East and everything. The Braves, you know, my Braves, you know, mm-hmm. Since that's the only team I can claim, right? They took over the NL East, and I mean, pretty much all the teams like who we thought would eventually get there, they did. But like we predicted too, that you know the Nationals would be the ones to, you know, get the wild card and everything like that. So, you know, I think all the teams that got in there, they're all solid. It's gonna be interesting to see how the playoffs play out, but I will say I don't know who's gonna do it just yet, but somebody's gonna knock off the Dodgers.
You think so?
Yep.
You see an upset coming?
Yep. Like I said, I don't know yet who, but I don't. They're not getting to the World Series.
Interesting. That's an interesting take here. The Dodgers will not make it to the World Series. That's very, very interesting. I mean, we've seen stuff like that happen in the playoffs before, so it wouldn't, like, shock me. We've seen, like, big teams like that have a great regular season, get in the postseason, and get knocked out early, so it wouldn't shock me. That's an interesting take.
Either. I mean, because I feel like the Nationals are going to beat the Brewers, so it could be the Nationals, and or if they don't, I think the Braves will do it. So it's going to be one of the – that's what I'm saying. So I'm thinking it'll be the Nationals or the Braves to do it.
So. Okay. Now, the Nationals, they got to get it together. They're down right now 3-0 to the Milwaukee. So that's how they gave up a home run. So
It's just game one. You know, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Mm-hmm. But it's one and done, though.
Right. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Wild card, yes. One and done.
I forgot this is with the wild card is football rules.
It's football rules. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh man, but
scratch what I just said. Dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man. But let's see. Look like Max got out of the inning. He struck out the last batter that was up. So hopefully Nats can get the bats going and they can pull this one out. Like I said, if they win this one, they'll go on and play the Dodgers. And on the other side, the other wild card games comes on tomorrow. So the Athletics and Tampa Bay. That one could go either way. That's a toss up right there. I feel.
Yeah, especially with the way Tampa Bay slipped, you know, in the season.
Yeah, big time.
So,
Yeah. So, like
I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Beane, you know, gets his team together and they go on a Moneyball type run.
Yeah, there you go. Like I said, they'll take on Houston, which, like I said, that's not going to be an easy test. You know, Houston's got a very good team over there. So, like I say, it's going to be very interesting to see how this, you know, whole playoff race plays out, how these wild card games play out. But looking forward to it, man. Like I said, it's crazy, man. We're going over the standings and everything the whole season, we're doing the show. Now we're in, you know, playoff time. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, little podcast that first started, now here we are. Through the whole season.
Exactly, man. But, anything else on the playoff races, anything, wildcard games, anything else? Any thoughts or anything else before we move on?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees got knocked out before I don't think they go to the World Series either.
So. Yeah, that's interesting. They got the Twins. The Twins, you know, they've been one of those kind of sneaky teams. A lot of people not talking about them, but the Twins got a pretty solid team over there as well. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so I won't be surprised.
We shall see.
I'll go out on a limb and say that we get the Astros and the Braves in the World Series.
That'd be a good World Series. Two good teams there. That'd be a good World Series. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty. Up next, I want to talk about one of my... we talked about him a little bit on here. Not a lot, but we mentioned him on here. Anthony Rendon, one of the Nationals' top players, a third baseman for the Nationals. He's in a contract year, so at the end of the season, he's going to become a free agent. And we heard, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the Nationals have offered him a contract, 7 years, they said between $210 million to $215 million. And they were talking about comparing it to the contract that they offered Bryce last year, where they offered him 10 years, $300 million. They said a lot of that money was like on the kind of back end. Of the contract, it wasn't as, you know, appealing as it may seem. You see, you know, 10 years, $300 million. It's like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. Like I said, they said this deal that they offered Rendon is very similar to the Scherzer contract that they offered him. They offered him, I think, he got about like $205, $210 million when they picked him up. But like I said, I don't know how familiar you are with Anthony Rendon, but I think he's one of our best players. He's in the MVP race right now, and I hope they re-sign him because they definitely need his bat, they need his glove. He's one of the most underrated guys in baseball. They don't talk about him a lot. He's kind of a, you know, quiet guy. He can do a lot of talking and everything, but he's a very solid player. But this is a good contract. You think he'll stay with the Nationals? You think he'll test the free agent market? Any thoughts on Mr. Rendon?
Well, how old is he?
He's... I want to say he's in his late 20s, early 30s. Let me just double check here. He's not that old. He's built the team since like 2014.
Okay. If it's a seven year contract, and if you're getting the bulk of that on the back end, I would take it if it was me.
Mm-hmm. He's 29. He's 29 years old. 29 years old, yeah.
All right, so what? 30, 36, somewhere around there is where he would be, you know, kind of finishing that contract up, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, if it was me personally, I would take that. At 29...
Mm-hmm.
You take that deal because at 36, depending on, because if you know, like with baseball players, they can play to like the 40 or something, you know. When,
oh, yeah, like I've been saying, it's not like football, it was like, you know, a big contact sport or anything. You can play a lot longer in baseball than you can do in like other sports.
So, who's to say he played that, he re signs with that contract, you know, and let's say it's the high end of the contract number is what they're giving him.
Mm-hmm.
He finished that up at 36 and then maybe he re-signs for a few more years, depending on where his skill level is. Because I mean, as you get older in any sport, your skills do somewhat diminish or whatnot, but depending on where his, you know, skill level is at that point, he could either re-sign for maybe a few years and finish his career out with the Nationals, or he could leave and, you know, go somewhere else and probably be, you know, a veteran player on a contender team, something like that. You know, it'd be like that veteran that, like, could help, build up some of the younger guys and stuff like that, and then finish out his career. So he has the option to, like I said, me personally, he should take the deal. And because right now they do have a really good nucleus and everything as far as the team goes. So, like I said, if it was me going off of that, I would take that deal. But you never know. I like I said, I don't know what other teams might be interested in him or what his mindset might be. Because we know how, like, a lot of these players do in all sports, not just in baseball, but all sports. What we might think is a good deal to them, they might see it a different way and be like, you know, oh, I want to go blah, 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 or something like that. And then it don't work out so well, like a Robinson Cano.
Oh, that's a good example. Good example.
But like I say, I think he should re-sign and stay there because, I mean, the Nationals do have a good team. I've watched, you know, not just the highlights, but I have, like, watched a couple of innings of different games that I have been able to see and things of that nature. They do have a good team. I mean, they got Mad Max as, you know, pitcher and everything. Like,
oh,
that,
yeah. So. We talked about him many times. You know how we talked about Max on this show. So,
yeah, like I said, I would stay there. You would stay there and be one of, if not the key guy as far as, you know, an offensive player and everything like that. So, yeah, it makes sense, in my eyes at least, that he should re-sign. So.
Yeah, same here. And like I say, it looks a lot better than the deal that they offered Bryce. You know, like, they offered Bryce more money, but this deal looks like an overall better contract, you know, for a player, you know, coming up on, you know, their free agency and everything. And I'm looking at some of his numbers from this season. I mean, he batted 319, 34 home runs, 174 hits, 117 runs scored, with 126 RBIs. I mean...
Yeah, and like you were talking,
look at those numbers.
He's in the MVP race. So.
He is, most definitely. And with the guy from Milwaukee, Christian Yelich, with him getting hurt, because he was in the MVP race too. I mean, this kind of, you know, elevates Rendon, I think, in that spot. He's had obviously, by those numbers, he's had a very good season.
Exactly. So, and wait, I think I was reading him say that his numbers is all career best.
This is one of his best. I mean, he's had other good seasons before, but these are some of his, like I said, these are by far some of his best numbers since he's been with the team.
So basically, if he re-signed, he would basically be spending his prime years with the Nationals.
Yes, most definitely. He sure would. And like I said, I don't think, and I also feel like I said, not enough guys, you know, talked about this guy. You know, we talk about the Harpers and the Manny Machados and Mike Trouts and everything, and Aaron Judge, or as well as we should, you know, great players. But Anthony Rendon, like I said, he's a good all-around player. Not just with the bat, with his glove, too. I mean, he's a very good third baseman as well. So, he's a good all-around player. And like I said, if you want to keep, you know, like I said, keep the core of this team together, you want to keep a guy like Anthony Rendon. You want to, you know, you let Bryce go last year. You don't want another one of your top guys leaving, you know, the following offseason as well.
Exactly, because, see, then it would make guys that... It would make, you know, it harder for the Nationals to sign free agents, because then it's like, okay, well, they let Bryce Harper go. Mm-hmm. They let Anthony Rendon go. Okay, what is it about the Nationals and why these guys are leaving?
Exactly. Why aren't you keeping your core, you know, core players? What's going on here? Guys that you drafted, both of these guys, you know, Harper and, you know, Rendon, they were drafted by the Nationals. Yeah.
It's like with this one, they really should basically go all in.
Yeah,
look, we need to keep him because it would set a precedent around the league of like, hey, Washington is a place to be, you know,
opposed to,
oh, I want to, why would I want to sign with the Nationals? Look, they just let two of their best players go in the last couple of years. I want to go there.
Exactly. Are they serious about winning? I mean, how serious can you be about winning if you're letting go your top talent, not trying to, you know, resign them and keep them?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once again, A so-called team in Florida, they They know how to let go of their star players after winning not one, but two World Series.
Yes. Oh, yes. I know. Yes, I know all about that.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah. Y'all don't want to be like that, right?
No, we know. We don't want to follow those paths. No.
Yeah, so, like I said, the Nationals, who's ever in the front office, the GM, whatever, they need to.
They need to get it together.
Yeah, exactly. You just say, here, we're going to back up the Brinks truck, and we're going to pay that man his money. So,
right. Lerner family and Mike Rizzo, the general manager. I hope you listen to this show. Sign Anthony Rendon.
or Chris going to come to your house and got some choice words for you.
Exactly. I'm asking. Choice words. Me and my aunt both can come to your house and have some choice words. Say, hey, we loyal fans. We've been coming through these games. Y'all about to get it together. Oh, man. Nationals just scored. Trey Turner hit a home run. So, kind of giving you guys an update on the game as well as we go along here. So, they're up. They got a run. So, hey, let's keep it going.
Yeah, so like I say, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. Anything else on Anthony Rendon before we move on to the next thing?
No, that's pretty much it. Just pay this man his money.
Yeah, pay that man his money. Pay the man. All right. Next up, Pete Alonso. Very good year for him. He's a rookie for the New York Mets. He broke the home run rookie record that was set by Aaron Judge at 52 home runs. Pete Dunne beat him by one, and he has 53 home runs that led the major leagues this season. It's been a great year for him. I mean, he's the home run champion. He won the home run derby. I'm sure he'll probably be running for rookie of the year. So it seems like we got, you know, a star is born here in Pete Alonso. Like I said, I hadn't, you know, wasn't that familiar with him, but just kept hearing about things throughout the course of the season. So it seems like we got a guy to keep an eye on. Out for looking forward here with Pete Alonso. Any thoughts on him and breaking the home run rookie record?
So Aaron Judge first, and then now Pete Alonso. So it seems like we're getting a lot of good young players that's coming into the league now.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
And Pete Alonso, he has the potential, you know, to, in, you know, the coming years, to become, you know, one of the stars, one of the faces of the league. Like, you know, like we talked about some episodes back about how Major League Baseball, even though it is considered America's pastime and everything like this, it's the oldest sport in American history. Mm-hmm. And it, for some reason, especially in recent years, and especially in a time where everything is, you know, social media and, mm-hmm. you know, things of that nature, baseball has a hard time, you know, building and promoting its star players.
Yes, it does.
Which is kind of baffling to me. It's like, during the time when you didn't have all of this, you knew who a lot of baseball players were.
Oh, you did. You did.
But now, if you're a casual fan, and at this point, I am somewhat of a casual fan. I mean, you know, through the course of doing the show, you have, you know, put me on to a lot of these different players because you are a diehard fan of mm-hmm. baseball. I've become more of a casual fan.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, you put me onto a lot of these players, but I'm pretty sure if I was watching on a more consistent basis like I did when I was younger, I would know who a lot of these guys are. But it seems like even casual fans know who star players in sports are. You know, I'm pretty sure, you know, you could talk to somebody and be like, hey, you know, such and such from, do you know LeBron James? Yes, you know who LeBron James is. Yeah. Do you watch basketball? Yeah. I don't mm-hmm. watch basketball, but I know who LeBron is.
Right,
he's
going
to be in Space Jam too.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. But, and then like with football, you know who Patrick Mahomes is. You know who Aaron Rodgers is. You know who Tom Brady is. You know, mm-hmm. know Drew Brees. You know these mm-hmm. guys.
You know these guys, yeah.
And people don't even watch the sport, but they know who these people are.
They know these guys. You see them in commercials and advertisements and stuff and everything. You know who these guys are. Exactly. You don't follow the sport that closely.
Yeah, but with baseball, don't know who half of these people are. I mean, if you ask somebody, hey, do you know who Anthony Rendon is? That doesn't watch baseball. That probably lives in D.C. Like, no, I don't know who the hell that is.
Like who is that? You know,
but hey, you know who Bryce Harper is? No, nope, never.
Yeah, exactly. Never heard of him. Exactly.
Like, but they, I don't know how that got flipped around with the marketing with baseball. I don't know who's doing the marketing, but they do a bad job. And coming back full circle to Pete Alonso, it's like he is one of those guys that you could make the face of the league. Put him in some commercials, you know, have him doing, you know, promos and stuff like that, promoting the game or something and everything. Why they don't do that, I don't know. And like I say, he has that potential to be one of those faces in the next few years. So.
Yeah, he does. Especially in that New York market and everything. I mean, that's huge. Like I said, you got him over on the Mets side. You got Aaron Judge over on the Yankees side. These are two guys, like I said, you could be promoting and, you know, building the game. Like, hey, come see Pete Alonso. Come see, you know, Aaron Judge. And you got guys like Anthony Rendon. And like, even the Nats, you got Anthony Rendon, Trey Turner, Juan Soto. I mean, good, young, up-and-coming talent in the game that they're not doing that good a job of promoting these guys. Like I said, you ask the casual fan, they're not gonna know who half of these, or most of these guys are, because they don't know. They don't do a good job promoting these guys well enough.
I mean, we talked about with Ken Griffey Jr. He had a freaking doggone baseball game.
He did, and sneakers and everything. He had appeal, commercials.
So I don't know. It's baffling to me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I look at a guy, even like a guy like a Max Scherzer. Look at how talented he is. I don't think you do a good enough job promoting him.
No, I mean, I think I said it when we talked about Max on that episode that we, you know, featured him on. But I think I said it that Max Scherzer is basically this era's Roger Clemens, Boston Red Sox Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
We got a time capsule of that, right? Mm-hmm. He's basically Roger Clemens, circa Boston Red Sox era. That's who he is right now. And at that time, Roger Clemens was that dude. He was one of those dudes that you knew who Roger Clemens was.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people could say, hey, I know who Matt Scherz is?
Yeah, exactly. Not too many people. No, if you don't really follow the game that closely, you have no clue who he is. I've seen him in one commercial. He did one, like, Papa John's commercial with Alex Ovechkin. But other than that, you don't see no advertisements, no one doing nothing. And I'm like, this guy is awesome. This guy is, you know, he's fiery. He's got personality. Why are they, like, promoting guys like this, you know, to bring more people into the game? Because people would like guys like Matt. He's a good guy. And then, like I said, Pete Alonso, they would like these guys if they did a better job advertising these guys.
Hey, you know, it's probably bad to say it, but I'm pretty sure the only time people heard about who Matt Scherzer was is when the whole thing with his nose, mm-hmm, you know, getting busted up, you mm-hmm know, like that. That's probably the whole time they even heard who he was.
Probably so. Which is so unfortunate. Like I said, people that, you know, follow the team like I do, you know a lot of them. This guy is like awesome. The no hitters and the almost perfect games and the fireness and the leadership he got. And the guy not only, you know, doing it on the mound, the guy can, you know, I can hit. The guy, they got him out there. They use him as a pinch runner a lot of the times too. The guy's an all around competitor. So hopefully, if the
market, somebody from marketing of MLB, if you're listening,
yeah,
we're giving you some ideas.
We're giving you some ideas to promote guys better in the league, you know, moving forward. There's a lot of talent that needs to be, you know, recognized. Like I said, get back to the world back in the day when we had guys like, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., you know, getting, you know, a lot of advertisements. Even, you know, Frank Thomas, too, another guy, had, you know, commercials and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know why they kind of got away from that type of stuff.
Hell, Frank Thomas, well, I mean, he got different types of commercials now.
Yeah.
But you trying to tell me that Frank Thomas, retired Frank Thomas, has an endorsement deal where guys that's currently playing right now can't have an endorsement deal? What's up with
that? Yeah, it's exactly. That's like so backwards, man. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's crazy, man. Crazy. But yeah, like I said, hopefully they, you know, start doing better. Like I said, hopefully whoever's listening out there, you know, they're listening to us, you know, not only pay Anthony Rendon, but do a better job, you know, marketing your players, bring, you know, a younger audience and generation into baseball, you know, grew up loving baseball the way we did, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we shall see, man, moving forward. Like I said, hopefully they take our advice, man.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully so, man. All right, up next. Last episode, we talked about a two-sport athlete in Deion Sanders. We're going to talk about another one here, a guy that's kind of the poster child, I would say, for two-sport athletes. Mr. Bo Jackson. Let's see here. He made his MLB debut in September 2nd in 1986 for the Kansas City Royals. He played his last game on August 10th, 1994 for the California Angels. He had a career batting average of 250, 141 home runs, 415 RBIs, and he played for three teams throughout the course of his career, the Royals, the White Sox, and the Angels. Let's see, he had one All-Star appearance in 1989, and let's see, they say he made some TV appearances as well. He was on an episode of the Fresh Prince, Married with Children as well. So, yeah, like I said, when you think two-sport athletes, and most people, you know, gravitate to, you know, Bo Jackson and everything. So, any thoughts on Bo Jackson and his career?
Well, we were just talking about how MLB used to promote, you know, their players and everything like this. Now, granted, he was a two-sport player, but he began his career as a baseball player. He, you know, he started in MLB a year before he actually started in the NFL. But he had those Bo Knows commercials.
Yeah, Bo Knows, yep.
And then, let's not forget, Super Tecmo Bowl, the very first Super Tecmo Bowl. It was him.
Yes.
That game was revolving around him.
Yes.
If you picked the freaking Raiders, you was going to win with him every time. It did not matter.
Instant win. Instant gratification, man.
But he was, you know, the promo. He was a promo machine. Both sports really capitalized off of him and everything. So they knew how to promote him. And there was things that he could do on the baseball field. At his size, it was like, how the hell is he doing this? And I'm pretty sure he would have been a... We were robbed of a full career of Bo Jackson in both sports. Because, you know, in 1990 with the whole, you know, hip injury.
Hip
and everything,
injury, yeah.
You know, it changed him. And I think that's why he retired from football and, you know, focused more on baseball. Because he played in baseball a lot longer than he did in football. And it's just sad that if that hip injury didn't happen. Because even in baseball, he was a different player after the hip injury.
Right, he was.
And it's just like if he didn't get hurt, he probably would be considered. I mean, he is somewhat considered one of the greatest athletes of all time, but he might have been considered one of the greatest football players and one of the greatest baseball players of all time if he never got hurt. So, like I said, it's a sad kind of story, but if you got a chance to see him play, he was magic on the field, on both on the field and on the diamond. So
he was like you say, it's one of those what if things. Like, what if he hadn't had that hip injury? You know, how would his, you know, career have ultimately without, you know, having to deal with that?
Yeah. So
yeah.
Well, he was good. He was good.
He was very good, most definitely, man. He was very good, man. Like I said, and like I said, we talked about it here, you know, before. Like I said, the two-sport athletes and everything. Like I said, the way things are going today, I really don't think we're gonna see that, like, at least in our lifetime. I mean, you never say never. You know, somebody might, you know, come down the line, you know, years down the line, and might, you know, change things when it comes to this. But I really have a hard time believing that we'll see another, you know, two-sport athlete like that playing, you know, baseball and football, or, you know, playing, you know, two different sports like that. That's like, that was like a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing, it seems like. I honestly don't see it happening.
Well, I'll say this. If Kyler Murray continues to get beat up, you know, maybe he'll change his mind.
He changed his mind and said, maybe that baseball thing does sound pretty good.
The Cardinals offensive line is complete trash. And
yes.
And he's a little guy. And
he's not that big. No, he's not.
So if he continues to get beat up, maybe he'll talk to his agent like, hey, you know what? I think I want to go play baseball. And, I mean, but in the sense of where, you know, the guy, someone like a Deion Sanders, who still to this day is the only player to play in the Super Bowl and a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Bo Jackson to be, you know, crazy athletic good in both sports. I don't think we'll see anything like the two of them again.
No.
But I want to say that we might see somebody try both. We might see it. I'm pretty sure they won't be like how they were, because both of them were good at both, even though Deion was a better football player than he was baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
But Bo Jackson, I feel like he was great at both. You know,
He was. Most definitely.
I don't think we'll have anybody that'll be great at both again, but I do think we'll have somebody that's like a Deion that will be good at one and great at the other. So, yeah. But like I say, but when that'll happen, I don't know.
Who knows, man? Who knows? And I think it would be, especially on the baseball line, it'd be good for, again, like we were talking about earlier, having somebody like that you could market and everything. Like I said, the game could definitely use that. So it would be very, very interesting to see, you know, somebody come along and, you know, at least test the waters and see if it's, you know, a possibility.
Yeah, and like I say, I don't want to, you know, get animated and agitated again, because it does kind of burn in me.
When
we start talking about
it. Right.
So I'm doing my best not to do that.
Try to keep it cool, keep loving it.
That episode when we talked about it, you go back and listen to me. And I was very passionate about
this. Yes. Yes, you were.
So, yeah, so like I say, you can hear the passion in my voice if we go back to that episode where we talked about Kyler Murray and the whole two-sport thing. But, yeah, it would be nice, and I think there could be something behind that, but it just has to be, I guess, the right person at the right time has to come along. So,
mm-hmm. Most definitely. Like I said, we've seen people, like I said, you know, doing the football baseball thing. Could you think it could work in like another sport? Like somebody play baseball, basketball, baseball, and like another sport? Or does it necessarily think it has to be strictly like football? Like, they can try different sports? You don't think so?
I think because of how, looking at it now with the way baseball and basketball, I think you could do that, because, you know, baseball begins in April.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball season is starting to wind down around that time. So, if you playing baseball and basketball, depending on what type of team you are in basketball, you could probably miss like some games during the beginning of baseball season,
mm-hmm.
and everything or whatnot, and then you're there for the beginning of basketball season, because baseball is pretty much over with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in the playoffs and the World Series has pretty much happened, or is getting ready to happen. You know, the basketball season is starting. So I think baseball, basketball, right, the way it's kind of scheduled now works mm-hmm. better mm-hmm. than baseball, football. I doubt we'll see it, though.
Yeah, I highly doubt. I mean, I would love to see it. It would be good for the sports and everything. But like I said, people like, you know, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, like I said, those are like once-in-a-lifetime type of athletes. Like I said, you'll never see that again. Hopefully I'm wrong, but like I say, those guys are just on a different level, man, to be able to do what they were able to do.
And I know we say once-in-a-lifetime, but they were twice in the same lifetime. So.
That's true. Like I said, we were very blessed to be able to witness both of these gentlemen.
We were. I mean, I got to make this joke. So, I mean, we talk about two-sport athletes. I mean, Dennis Rodman, I mean, he was a basketball player and a part-time wrestler. So,
there you go.
I mean, anything is possible.
Yeah, anything is possible. Expect the unexpected here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anything else on Bo Jackson? Anything else before we go?
If you didn't get a chance to see his 30 for 30 or whatnot, I recommend it to anybody who hasn't seen it. It is very good. You get a very in-depth, you know, look at the man as well as the athlete and everything. So for anyone who's listening, if you get a chance, if you haven't seen it, or hell, if you, even if you have seen it, go watch it again, you know, or whatnot, because it's very good. I mean, that's, well, I mean, we talk about it all the time, like ESPN, they 30 for 30 is one of the, probably the best things that ESPN has going for them. Yeah, definitely check that out. It's very good. Even the one with Dion, that one's very good too.
That was a good one. Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
So, yeah, so definitely check both of those out. And but the Bo Jackson one is very good too. And that, and I mean, he, Bo Jackson basically ended Brian Bosworth's football career when he ran him over. So, and which ironically, Bo Jackson is in two 30 for 30s.
Exactly. That's something right there. 230 for 30, man.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right. Anything else before we wrap up here this evening?
Well, I mean, we did talk about it a little bit before we started the show. Bill Bochy, you know, he retired from managing the San Francisco Giants. You know, when the season ended and everything. And it's crazy that he won three World Series, you know, in a short length of time. And he had a good career with them. I feel like he brought them back after the whole Barry Bonds thing, in a way, you know, where people, I mean, if you're a certain age, you remember, you know, the Barry Bonds era, but I think he helped bring the team out of that to where you remember the team for what they accomplished under his, you know, managing reign and everything. You have to give him credit for that. Even though the team, you know, in the last couple of years, they wasn't so good and or anything like that, but he still did a very good job of, you know, bringing them three World Series, you know, and everything. And so I just had to, you know, mention him because I think also too, at some point during the show, I think we should talk about managers or what.
Maybe we'll do that next episode. We'll pick a manager or something like that. Yeah. We'll just discuss that because there's been a lot of great managers, you know, over the years too. That's an idea. Yeah, next show we'll definitely talk about pick a couple of managers and, you know, discuss their career.
Okay.
How about I pick one and you pick one and then we'll discuss.
We talked a little bit about a certain manager when we did the Atlanta Braves. History with him. But I'm pretty sure I can think of somebody too.
So there you go. That's the next episode right there, talking about some baseball managers.
Like I said, I just wanted to mention him and everything because he did, you know, like I say, three World Series in what, 5 years?
So. 5 years, yeah. Like I said, that's very impressive. Like I said, kind of, you know, turn the tide after the whole, you know, Barry Bonds, you know, era and everything. So, yeah, man, respect to him. Like I said, hope he, you know, enjoys his retirement. Like I say, three World Series rings in that short period of time is awesome.
So yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. That's all I got as well. That's another episode in the books. Jay, anything you'd like to plug before we wrap up here tonight?
You can check me out, of course, on the Twitter at J Movie Talk, or my personal page, The J Giles, and everything. And of course, you can always follow the TV Zone podcast on Twitter also. And of course, you can definitely follow us here at the Grand Slam podcast, podcast on Twitter. I think I said that right, even though I'm the one who created it, but I don't remember the. So I'm gonna edit all this out, but
okay.
Whatever. But yeah. You can definitely check us out on Twitter too, the Grand Slam Podcast Twitter account and everything. As far as me over on Movie Talk, it's October, so of course for the listeners here, every year around October, I always dedicated to horror films and everything. And this year I'm going to be covering the Phantasm series because it's celebrating its 40 years from the original film up until 2015. So, well, is when the five films were released, but 2019 is the 40-year anniversary of the first film. So I decided to dedicate the whole month to that. And I'm doing something a little different where I will be reviewing the first film and the fifth film. And I have other podcasters that's going to be doing takeovers for 2, 3, and 4. So you'll be hearing not only my voice, but also other podcasters throughout the month of October on Movie Talk. And by the time this episode is up, I should have recorded the first Phantasm with my guest, Xena, and it'll be uploaded. So you can definitely check the episode out when I upload it on the weekend and everything like that. So that's what I got going on.
Cool, cool. Sounds good, man. Sounds real good. All right, guys, as far as I'm concerned, you can follow me on Twitter at Moneymaker Chris, as well as Instagram, BCSportsFan23. Check out my writing on medium.com/@BrokenMoneymaker, as well as support me on Patreon, patreon.com/MoneymakerChris. Check out my Facebook page for my writing, The Cash In. I post all of my articles and stuff on there, as well as Football and Friends. That's for all my football talk, and I do my picks as well. I'll be putting those out probably sometime this, either tonight or definitely by tomorrow. I had Jay pick games with me this week. Thank you, Jay, for picking games for me this week. And I also have products for sale. I have t-shirts, hoodies. I just did some new Halloween shirts. So if I'm gonna get ready for Halloween, I got some cool Halloween shirts that are available. I have them available up until October 22nd. So if you want to get those in time for Halloween, that's storefrontier.com/writer315. I got phone cases and mugs and stuff as well on teespring.com/store/moneymakerchris. So yeah, check all that stuff out. Buy some products.
Which I will be hitting you up about some of them Halloween.
Cool. Sounds good, man. Appreciate that. All right. That's all I got here, man. Any last words?
Playoff baseball is upon us. Play ball.
There you go. Play ball. Nats are down right now, but I think they're going to make a comeback. Go Nats. Beat the Brewers.
There you go, man.
All right. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace out.
Peace.